This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. What one specific thing will decide the Western Conference Finals? I did see somebody say, whoever scores the most points.
It's a great answer in your face.
That is a great answer. I was looking for something that would happen in the flow of the game, and I think this is what I'm looking at as being the biggest difference. Is Broadus brought up a really great point a couple days ago, is that all four of the teams in the conference finals are all in, depending on which metric you look at, top seven defenses in the league. But if there's one specific spot where the Golden State defense struggles, it is in isolation. And so here's some cool numbers for you if you're looking for the Mavs' path to victory. Golden State's isolation defense is allowing 0.96 points per possession. That's fourth worst in the league in the regular season. The only player who ran more isolation than Luka this year is James Harden. So Luka runs the second most isolation in the league against a team whose isolation defense is the fourth worst in the league. That sounds like a recipe for offensive success. And, you know, Steve Kerr had talked about how the Mavericks like to slow it down and play a different style of offense. I think isolation scoring right there is going to be huge in this series.
I love what you're saying. In fact, I finally got an answer back from, I'm going to go on Phoenix Radio, I believe, on Friday. And I was asking them a real question of like, hey, can you kind of give me an answer from y'all's perspective? And he said, we are actually hoping for Phoenix. The feeling was the Warriors matched up better with them. At the same time, a lot of fans and us are thrilled to play Dallas, mainly for the home court advantage the Warriors got. Luka presents a lot of worries for us. So I think that's a great educated answer from a Warriors fan doing radio there that is kind of giving us, okay, like here's the thing. We knew that maybe Phoenix was a little bit better, but the matchup is a better situation for us. The Mavs like playing slow. I mean, Luka doesn't really want to play fast. Brunson doesn't want to play fast. And the Warriors want the game to be 1,000 miles an hour. And we don't want to play that way. We usually don't get baited into playing that way because it's almost like we can't. We tried our best to push it against Phoenix. And remember one of the games where we won, it was 3 or 4, and Jason Kidd looked at the stat sheet because he's like, I thought we played a lot faster, but the stat said we still only took this many attempts.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
like, God, I thought we played a lot faster, yet the stat sheet still said we played a slower tempo game, but we still played a faster tempo than we are used
normally
to playing.
Yeah.
So now you don't really tell the Mavericks, hey, can Luka, Brunson, can you do something you're a little bit uncomfortable with? And that is pushing the ball as fast as you can. Not saying that's a bad deal, but now it's like, no, you don't want to hurry up and throw quick outlets and just try to get the game into a holy goalie fast break situation because that plays into the Warriors' strengths.
One of the things, though, is they have a propensity to play sloppy.
Because of that
freedom to play that kind of basketball, they play sloppy and then they become like one of those teams that's like, well, we know what our shot's going to be. We're going to get in transition and try and drill a three. And I don't know like how you feel about this, but Kevin, 35.9% from three. Pretty good, right?
It's solid.
But Steph is usually a 40% three-point shooter in the playoffs, and he's at 35%. So it's not as easy as it used to be for Steph. And I think that's one of the things. Their turnovers, I think they're they average 19.5 turnovers against Memphis. That's the first thing that Draymond on his podcast was saying was, I have to clean that up, but the entire team has to do that too. And if we can, we have a better chance against this team. I just think because of their style of play and the Mavericks' ability to... Here's the thing. The Golden State's going to try and hit a home run, right? They're going to try and get that big time play every time. The Mavericks don't have to turn it around and play that same speed, right? They can get that turnover and then do what they do. Their methodical approach to the game.
As Jason Kidd said, go explore.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the thing is like the one of the things that always irritated me about those Spurs teams was they could run with you. Like they could run you off the court, but they also they made you play their slow game and it was boring, but they won. And that's something that that does have that thing that the Mavericks, I see a little bit of them is, you know what? We're not going to get outpaced. We're going to play our game and you can't force us to do too much outside of that. So I think if the Mavericks can take advantage of those turnovers, if they get 20 turnovers,
one every six possessions,
and the Mavericks are making buckets happen out of those turnovers, that's going to be a massive difference in this series.
And I know it's totally different sport, but you know, in football, when you play somewhat of a run and gun team and you don't allow them to have the ball, I know time of possession is somewhat overrated in football, but you know, when you have a 7 or 8 minute drive and then you make the other team go 3 and out and then you have another 7 or 8 minute drive, that team feels like we haven't been on the field much at all. I know it's totally different, but then they start pressing even more. Like, let's just hit a big play here. If we're not going to be on the field much, let's just try a couple bombs here.
Yep.
And so that's what I think part of the hope is in this series is we frustrate them with our methodical isolation, hopefully moving the ball around. Because I do think Golden State will do kind of what Corey said and try to make Luka more of a scorer than a distributor. Because the more the ball moves around, the more the ball touches our guys' hands, the more into it they are. In fact, I remember in Game 7, and I know it became a blowout by halftime, I was so happy with, even though Reggie Bullock was missing, even though at times we weren't making all of our shots, I was like, man, but the ball's moving a little bit. Guys are touching it. It's okay we missed that. That was a good look. And that way the guys are really engaged. They're part of the process of what is happening on the court. And so if the Mavs can get that going, their methodical approach, they seem to like shooting the ball on the shot clock with about 5 seconds to go, feels like, right? Yeah. Drain about 19, 20 seconds off. And then if you score there, then the Warriors are like, crap, we're taking the ball out of the basket. It's a little bit tougher to push when you take the ball out of the basket. And then how quick do they try to we just got to hurry up and quickly fight back here. Now, that being said, it'll be mostly Draymond Green. It'll be everybody, but mostly Draymond Green, who is their point forward most of the time to make sure to settle things down and they get into their, all the time, all four guys are moving without the ball. Not all the time, but they have a lot of movement off the ball where the Mavericks don't have a lot of movement off the ball.
Is then another key to that, Mike, is getting him in either a foul trouble or worn out. Like like they did to Chris Paul. And I don't know if you can wear him out the same way by just posting him up, because then that kind of feeds into what his defensive game is. But how do you wear out Draymond Green to make him go, I don't even want to be on this court right now?
It'd be great to get him in foul trouble. But look, when they go to Jordan Poole or Steph Curry having to run more of the point, it doesn't hurt them as much as when, like, let's say when Chris Paul went bad, right? Because now they're going to campaign or they're going to Landry Shamet or they're kind of asking Devin Booker to be more of a point situation. And the reason that Devin Booker kept winning 20 games and losing 60 was because they were asking him to be more of a point guard than more of a scoring guard. And so that's why they stunk with him doing that. And Chris Paul changed all of that for him. But we're not going to what you'd consider like a campaign or, you know, a situation where like this is a below average or at best an average guy off the bench type of player. But I like what Devin Harris said. This is maybe not going to be so much about defense for both teams. Yes, defense will play a major role, but maybe it's about more of the scoring, because when you look at all the options Golden State has, I do believe the Mavericks are being portrayed, and maybe I'm part of the issue here throughout the season, as this one-man team.
Yeah.
But as the playoffs have progressed, we know Brunson's going to probably get around 20 points. And Dinwiddie, do you think Dinwiddie can carry the momentum of game 6 and 7 into this series?
I hope I'm wrong, but not necessarily.
Okay. Like, and I understand.
I hope I'm wrong.
I wonder if he's that big of a roller coaster. We're on the Texas Giant more than the Judge Roy screen.
Hey, look, and if he's not, and he fires back out with 24 points tonight on efficient shooting, then I'm going to be like, oh, hell yeah. But what I'm worried about is I think you're going to see a more like a 12-point night on maybe not the greatest
That's
shooting.
Tough. That's tough if because of what the Mavericks like to do. And, Kevin, go look at the last couple games. Get up by 10, stay up by 10 was my mantra all that whole series.
I like that, by the way.
And they play so well whenever they're ahead because of the way that they play, the pace at which they play. And there's a period. Mike, how many minutes is it when Luke is out and Dinwiddie's kind of the guy that's in charge?
I think in the postseason you would say he's sitting out now about 8 minutes.
Okay, and there's that stretch right before halftime where
it's tough because they're all blowouts. So like you never got a great idea in the Phoenix series because
which
nobody,
is good.
Like they had to play the last 3 minutes of any game.
That could be a huge benefit to us here. But like there's this stretch where Dinwiddie, like he's in charge, and it's on him for maybe 3 possessions to just waste time. Like, hey, we got a 10-point lead. Waste that time. My thing is, I know that Golden State can turn a 10-point lead into nothing very fast.
Yes.
And that's the thing that kind of concerns me of I need Dinwiddie to hit those shots, not waste 24 seconds of shot clock and then put one up and us not get 2 or 3. We need him to get those. So I don't think he can do it every night, but like it's going to be essential for what the Mavs typical MO is.
I know we asked him like kind of a follow-up question and talked about it in the moment, but I was hoping we could take just a minute and go back to something that Devin Harris said, because like his logic makes perfect sense to me, and he played in the NBA. He was in an All-Star game. Like, I definitely get
why you are setting up to say that you hate Devin Harris.
No.
This is weird.
I don't agree with what he said about like lack of pressure on the Mavs because they weren't supposed to be there. I get like externally, everyone's like all the pressure is on the Warriors and stuff like that. But we talk about this all the time. Just because you're there now doesn't mean you'll get back there. Am I inclined to think that Luka will be back in this spot many, many times? Yes. But you take me back to 2016, I would have sworn up and down that the Cowboys were going to be back again and again and again and again.
We're all making up what we know what's in people's heads. I don't know what's in your head right now. I don't know how much anxiety, how much happiness, how much fear's in your head once you go home.
Sure.
No clue. We don't know.
Yeah.
Devin Harris doesn't know. Now, Devin Harris does have the experience. I have the experience of playing Major League Baseball. You really don't know how free a person is in the moment or how kind of inside mentally they're collapsing until you see it. Because to your point, right, there's examples. This is why it's so tough to predict and so tough, I think, to gamble on sports. Well, I mean, Shaq and Penny weren't supposed to win at all, and neither was, young Nick Anderson. And then, you know, Nick Anderson and Shaq and Penny all crapped their pants in the NBA Finals. Now, it was Hakeem like, hey, this is kind of your chance. You've been in the league for a while now. Michael Jordan's taking it over. He's retired. He's out. Right? So more pressure on Houston.
Yeah.
They ended up playing up to the pressure and playing great. No pressure on Orlando. They're going to probably be in the next finals for the next 10 years with this dude, Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway. And yet the pressure got to those guys. You never know. I think you bring up a point where I'd love to say, hey, I agree with Devin Harris, or I agree with you, or this is going to happen, or that is going to happen. We don't know how free Dallas is going to play and like, hey, we're with house money. We're just happy to be here. Or you're just happy to be here. And then you're like, oh crap. I think 2010, a little bit talking to Ian Kinsler, Michael Young, a lot of those Derek Holland, a lot of those guys forgot they were almost in the World Series a little bit. They had just beat the Yankees. They had won the American League. It's the first time ever in Rangers history. And then you had to play in the World Series.
Yeah.
Not saying they didn't try, not saying, look, no, they tried their best and everything. But sometimes you get to the, we were just so excited to be there, we forgot to win it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah,
I've talked to Cole Hamels about that, about his team in 07 when they made the playoffs for Philadelphia because they got swept by Colorado. Colorado ended up making the World Series and then getting swept by Boston. He's like, it's almost like we had such a comeback at the end of the regular season to win the division, to get in the playoffs. It's almost like we forgot, oh, yeah, but now we have to play in the playoffs.
Oh, man. There are a couple things. I don't think that this Mavs team is in that mindset. And maybe I'm just hopeful.
Did you see what Dorian Finney-Smith said about that?
Uh-uh.
He goes, we made it this far. We might as well go win the whole thing.
Let's win the whole damn thing while we're at it.
He's watched that movie Major League.
Yes.
Have y'all seen the picture?
They've been taking pasties off of Mark Cuban.
Oh, my God.
Almost down to the thong.
Oh, my God.
I can't.
What are you supposed to say now,
Corey? There's a picture of Luca drinking a beer. I don't know if it's from yesterday. Or if it's from this morning.
You know what? That's fine. He's earned the right. Either way. I don't care. Either way, I'm fine.
But somebody said couple cold ones before game one. He might drop 50 tonight. Yeah.
Not a fair question. Turnovers or rebounds mean more tonight?
Turnovers.
Ooh, yes, turnovers. Tonight.
The stat in the last series, Golden State turned the ball over once every six possessions.
They still won the series. Crap. Rebounds.
They even lost their best player.
Last two games against Golden State won the rebounding battle 37-32. Mavericks won it 45-44. Mavs won both games.
Okay. I like it.
Those were the last two times they played each other.
Yeah.
Keep the ball. Don't turn it over.
That makes sense. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the top 25 players in the NFL under 25. How many Cowboys made the cut? We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Been talking Mavs most of the day with good reason. Want to switch gears to football a little bit here. A couple of things. Now, last week we had Mayor Eric Johnson on the show from Dallas, and he is now saying
he's on a path right now.
He is starting a new committee that will focus on ways to keep pro teams playing in the city and attract new ones. So we talked about the idea he mentioned. AFC team, expansion team, or maybe somebody like the Jags to come in and be that secondary football team in Dallas. Yesterday, he announced a 5-member committee on professional sports recruitment and retention in a city memo to fellow elected leaders.
Who is heading up that committee, Kevin?
Ooh, is it Roger Staubach?
It is Mayor Eric Johnson.
Oh.
He said, this is my goal, is okay. to head this project up. I'm going to be on this committee. I want to go full go on this one. And he continues, the Jerry Jones vision is more than anybody else gives him credit for. Like, he keeps giving that. And I'm very curious if that's a reality, and that Jerry Jones has already kind of had a conversation about this with him. And Jerry's like, yeah, I see more being able to be done here in the area, or if that's just him trying to butter him up.
That's a good question. He said the committee would prioritize keeping the Cowboys, Mavs, and Stars, the Mavs and Stars in the city, and then assess the impact of FC Dallas and the Wings playing outside of the city of Dallas proper, and determine if the benefits of attracting new teams outweigh the possible costs. I don't know if anything will happen with this, but I thought it was fascinating and noteworthy nonetheless.
You know, it's interesting because I do think, I don't know how soon this will be, but I would think if you're going to have two teams in one sport, and I get why football would be it, and I get why Jerry Jones will never allow it, but I would think more of you would want kind of a team in Arlington that is kind of your Fort Worth team. And I get it's not Fort Worth, but you're attracting everybody from the West.
Yeah.
And then almost, and I'm not knocking downtown at all Dallas, but almost like the way Frisco is growing and Allen and just up north.
Yeah.
How you just keep having, homes and everything built up there. Is that the place where you could attract, for football, you do need 70,000 people a game. And I'm not saying baseball, it's easy, because you're going to probably, if you were to create a new baseball stadium, you'd need 35,000 to 40,000 seats. Basketball, obviously, you create anywhere from 16,000 to 20,000, or hockey, which there's no way we're having a second hockey team here. But
I would be fairly surprised to see that as well.
But, kind of where FC Dallas plays. Now, look, to be honest, that's a long way. And I just live just south of downtown Dallas. That's a long way to drive with traffic and everything. So you'd have to have enough support from your Frisco, Allen, McKinney to get that done.
And that is the tough thing, because I think about that too whenever we do fan hangs. Is like, we just did one in Irving, and some people be like, well, I can't go all the way to Irving. And we just did one in Burleson, and you're like, oh, I can't go all the way out to Burleson. Like, if you live in the Metroplex, like it's going to be a long way for somebody from somewhere, right, depending on where you live.
Yeah, this is a huge area.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Ooh, but didn't Mark Cuban say that he wanted to have like a floating arena? So what if it floated all over DFW and they could just remote control, fly it to Frisco for the night?
Sometimes Mark Cuban says things that aren't well thought out.
Well, so do I.
So do we all.
I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
You're going to take a shot at Mark Cuban, the man who just got us to the conference championship.
Okay, fine. Go ahead and text in if you dispute the fact that sometimes Mark Cuban says things that aren't well thought out.
But would you go to a floating arena? Like, if it was like, hey, tonight we bring the stadium to you.
In the first year? Hell no. Because that thing is going to be on the news like the freaking Hindenburg, unfortunately. So, yeah, dude, that's what I think is going to happen
and
if there's a floating
your car,
arena.
And then you're like, we floated 30 miles away from where we park.
It's just coming to you. You just got to walk, climb the ladder up.
How long is it going to take for you to get back to your car? Sorry, we got to drop these other 18,000 people
off.
It's
just above you out there in Frisco. You just climb the ladder and then climb down the ladder.
Can you imagine if you didn't know what was going on, but you're just walking by and all of a sudden like 15,000 ladders come down off this cloud arena? You think we're being invaded and be like, I need to get the hell out of here. Now, what we were going to talk about here is, I thought this was interesting. Pro Football Focus put out their top 25 players under 25 going into the season. Who do you think would be the best, and how many Cowboys do you think would make the list?
Micah, for sure.
Okay, so that would be
25.
One.
How old is CD?
I would guess he's under 25. He's under 25.
He's a junior when he came out. This is his third year, so I'd guess he's 24. And how many players are we picking?
Zeke's.
You said there's 25.
There's 25, so how many Cowboys do you think
Zeke's
makes
like
the
400.
List?
Zeke's still under 25,
no,
right?
No.
I think the Cowboys have one.
Just Micah? Just
what
Micah.
About Diggs?
Oh, crap. Yeah, Diggs. How old's Diggs?
He would probably qualify as under 25.
All right, I got two. Okay. That's it.
I think two also.
Okay, and it's the same two?
I'm guessing Parsons and Diggs as our two.
Trayvon Diggs is number 25.
Yes!
On the list.
He barely made it.
He made it. Doesn't matter. This isn't hand grenades and horse grenades.
That's true.
Last part, you're so close. Here are the top 10. DK Metcalf, number 10. AJ Terrell, out of Atlanta, number 9. Jeffrey Simmons, or is it Simons? I always get that twisted. I apologize. For the Tennessee Titans at 8. Jamar Chase at number 7. Do you think it's more likely that Micah Parsons is above Jamar Chase and in the top 6 or not in the top 10?
I think above, because I think he's going to be, the number 1 defensive player on this. I don't think there's going to be another defensive player under 25.
That's
better than him.
I'm trying to put together my mental list here because I think that Herbert's involved in the top 5. I think Jefferson's in top 5.
Pretty sure
CeeDee
Lamb didn't
5.
Make it if they just put Jamar Chase on the board. So yeah. We're out on CeeDee Lamb.
So I think Herbert and Jefferson for sure.
Okay.
Joe Burrow.
I don't know if Joe Burrow.
He came out older in the draft, so I don't know what age he is.
Joe Burrow is 25, so he is not eligible for
How
this.
How old is not Derrick Henry, the anti-Derrick Henry? He's 20,
Jonathan
23.
Taylor?
Jonathan Taylor's 23.
I was like,
yeah.
I was confused.
So I think I'm going to go with, is TJ Watt over 25?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
No, well, I'm just kidding. He is.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, this is a wild
game. All right, I think I'm going to say that Micah makes the top 5, but not the top 3.
Ooh, Micah does not make the top 5. However, he is number 6. So take solace.
I
should have
known better. When you stopped
that,
at 6, I should have known better.
You should have, but you didn't.
I didn't.
Micah Parsons, number 6 on the list. Justin Jefferson, number 5 on the list.
Disagree that he should be higher than Jamar Chase.
Oh. That is fascinating. We might need to pick that conversation up at another point. Number 4, Tristan Wirfs is number 4 on the list.
Oh,
easy to forget. That's fine.
Okay.
I get it. Number 3 on the list, Jonathan Taylor. Number 2 on the list, Justin Herbert.
Hey, am I right, though? Micah Parsons, highest defensive player.
Yeah.
You've named offensive players.
Oh, wow.
We still have number 1 on the board. Are you sure?
I don't know. I don't. It's not going to be Chase Young. That fart head missed the whole season last year.
Did you? You didn't name Bosa in the top 10 so far, have you?
He did
play.
He was horrible.
Number one on the list, Nick Bosa from the San Francisco.
That's a good call.
From the San Francisco 49ers.
It is. It does go to Choppy's deal, though. He does play a more premium position.
Yes.
On a consistent basis.
That is true.
Absolutely. And this last year, he had 15 and a half sacks. So, like, I get it. And so, top 10, Bosa.
From one spot.
Herbert.
Where's Steve DeBerg?
No. That moratorium. We talked about this. Jonathan Taylor, Tristan Wirfs, Justin Jefferson, Micah Parsons, Jamar Chase, Simmons, Terrell, and DK Metcalf. Interestingly enough, CeeDee Lamb is on this list at number 17.
Okay, good for
him. And just in this moment, I have a hard time buying that he's better than Trayvon Diggs. In fact, I'll take it one step further. He's not better than Trayvon Diggs in this moment.
Get him!
Like, I know that usually if you have this many turnovers as a team and as an individual, bound to regress to the mean. But just in this moment, CeeDee Lamb is not better than Trayvon Diggs.
How many receivers are higher than him? Obviously, you named two in the top 10, if I remember.
I think...
You named Jefferson and Chase.
Those are the... and Metcalf.
And Metcalf
so
at number
those
10,
are the only ones. So Metcalf... Chase and Jefferson are the only ones that young that are ahead of him. Though, by the way, the fart head that you referenced, Chase Young, is on the list at 13.
I mean, he should be on that list. It was just a horrible second year.
Like a year ago, wouldn't you have guessed he might be at the top?
I don't think Micah Parsons is going to drop off, but I mean, he was Micah Parsons his rookie year. Let's not forget what we thought of watching Chase Young was he is about to be the best defensive player in the NFL and wreck shop, and then he stunk.
I'd take T. Higgins over C.D.
T. Higgins is number 19, two spots below C.D. Lamb.
And that makes sense, too, as he's like the number two option, although like he and Jamar Chase are two different receivers, which benefits Joe Burrow in such a great way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Kyle Pitts, 24. Trevor Lawrence, 21. Surtain, number 20. So all kinds of talented young players in the league. Chase Young's 13, Rashawn Slater's 14. But yeah, the Dallas Cowboys put three on the list.
If you could trade right now CeeDee Lamb, if you could, I'm not saying I would do it or not do it, for Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle, would you trade? Do you think those guys are better than CeeDee Lamb? Would
Maybe
you want
Waddle.
To try those guys out more than CeeDee Lamb? Or do you feel like
Smith.
We have a better receiver than those two top picks from Alabama that just had their rookie year?
I think that's a good question. I think I'll stick with CeeDee Lamb.
I would probably take Waddle. I'm not a huge Smith fan, but I do like some of the things that Waddle can do. I do want to see CeeDee in as a one first, though. I do want that opportunity to see, like, okay, now it's your time. You and Dak, what can y'all do together? And I want to see if he physically added some pounds to his body to be that guy, or if he's still that, you know, trim, wiry wide receiver.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, I forgot to mention this earlier when you were talking about the old school Orlando success. You did see that they got the number one pick in the upcoming draft. And hopefully we're moving away from Chet Holmgren being the number one pick. I've seen other spots now where he started to slide down to four.
He'll slide to two. Oklahoma City loves them along like Duke.
God.
And we can trade for Poku. Just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yes.
It hasn't worked out.
Yes, that has not worked out. Coming up next, spectacularly thus far. Coming up next, we will chit-chat.
Oklahoma City will probably trade for more picks.
I actually could see that. Let's chit-chat with the G-Bag Nation next right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Totally awesome, Haggy. How are you?
Heck yeah. It's game one of the Western Conference Finals. I am fired up as well. I don't know if y'all were listening earlier, but went across, did the compilations from CBS Sports, ESPN, and The Athletic. They had 29 experts total pick the Mavs-Warriors series. How many do you think pick the Warriors, and how many pick the Mavs?
16-13 Warriors, Heggy.
Okay.
I'll go 20-9 Warriors.
25-4.
Okay. Final tally, 22 go for the Warriors, and 7 go for the Mavs.
Our magic number is always 7.
7.
Luka,
oh,
7.
77.
Good point.
Seven.
Good point. You juxtapose that with the Dallas Morning News. All 5 of their writers picked the Mavericks, and they all picked them to win in 6 games. So there are your predictions on the table.
Guys.
Oh, you said it's smart homers. No,
our guys are the experts. Yeah. I don't know about all these other athletic people.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, let's open it up to you, fine experts. What is your prediction on the record before we start this series?
Man, I like this game six idea. I like this game six idea. I want to flex
man.
Alongside Broadus.
Go we hit, seven.
We both, go, we're going seven
going
again.
Seven.
You're going seven again?
Yeah, I like
we're,
this.
We're going to take them on their own home court.
Yes, agreed. That's what I think.
I think that's a lot to ask. Doing that twice.
But it wouldn't be twice, would it? It would be 3 times. First series, win and close out on the road. Second series, win and close out on the road. Third series, win
all right, you
and
convinced
close.
Me.
Yes,
wow, that was
it would
easy.
Be so amazing to pay the money, go to San Francisco, watch sure. the Mavs win Game 7. Yeah. But how demoralizing or just beat down would you be if you paid all that money, went to go watch the Mavericks play Game 7, and then they lost while 20,000 people are shoving it right in your face?
Oh,
like that's
doing,
the.
Mike?
I'm just saying, like, it'd be really cool. So, like, I'd have to spend, I don't know, about $2,500 minimum to get on a
flight. We talked to Cubit about getting – they have a second charter that goes out there, and they take fans and employees and stuff like that. Mike, as big a fan as you are, you might get on that charter.
That would
get
be so fun
I'd
to
give
go.
You a seat on that plane.
And then to just shove it right in Baron Davis's face for that
– be outstanding.
For that – whatever they called that team, the Miracle Fart Knockers of 07.
Yeah,
whatever
that's exactly what it was.
Stick to Steven.
Yeah. Yeah. Documentary. They had T-shirts, the Miracle Fart Knockers.
Shut up, Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tempted to have some fun and call for breaking out the brooms and the sweep, but I think you're not going to win at the AAC. You're going to close them out in 5 in Golden State.
Oh,
another
like
gentleman sweep. That's the gentleman sweep right there.
Put a couple brooms on that plane then if that's a gentleman's sweep.
What has led to this overwhelming across the Metroplex confidence? Because going into the Phoenix series, I know y'all saw what we did, and that's they're going to get crushed.
No, I think we've all been real consistent about as the season wore on, especially towards the end, you know, when you're fighting for the third overall seed, the only team that you really felt terrible about maybe not beating was the Suns.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday on our show. I mean, it was like, you know, if the Suns were the only fear you had, then you should feel good about this. You should feel good about beating Golden State, because other than that, initially it was like, well, I don't know about Denver. I don't know about Utah. I don't know about Golden State. And then it turned into, yeah, they can't beat Phoenix. Everyone else I'll put them up against. But that's why you should feel a little good about this basketball team.
Yeah, going into the Suns, somebody asked, you know, if they beat the Suns, will you pick them to win the championship? And I said, well, yeah. I mean, if you can beat the Suns, then you're going to be way better than what I thought they were. And I think Luka's been getting better over the last 2 or 3 weeks and making huge strides in his development. And Jason Kidd has all the right answers. Yeah. You know, But Golden State, you know, they're not playing great either. You know, and I think they're past their prime. You know, these guys are over the hill. They're not anywhere close to the Dynasty Warriors. So, you know, you beat the Suns. I think you just showed you can beat anybody.
So that's where I am right here. Yeah. And Kevin, I'm going to compare this again to David and Goliath, because Phoenix was Goliath. What happened after David defeated Goliath? Do you remember?
Cheated on his wife. Okay, not that close.
Just a little more immediate.
God said, you've created major issues for my kingdom.
You should have known that was going to happen.
No. What did they do? The men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the gates of everything. They went after it. They didn't slow down. They kept going. And that's what I think the Mavs just slayed their Goliath. And they keep going forward with it, man.
I was listening to you guys earlier, and you were talking about how you made Phoenix quit. I don't think you can make these guys
agreed.
Quit. I think the championship now, and I like what Gavin's saying about the age, but I think the experience, the fact that they're there, they have a coach that's won championships before. Your coach has won a championship as well. So you made Phoenix quit.
Yeah,
I don't think you can make Golden State quit.
Since you mentioned the coaches, how do we feel about how this coaching matchup stacks up? Because Jason Kidd is like, obviously, he was phenomenal in the last round, but Steve Kerr, no slouch himself.
Well, we all kind of talked about, if you listen to Mike all year, that Kidd did more with less, you know, with this roster. So, I mean, you know, Kerr last year, when things were bad with injury and all that, they really didn't get a whole heck of a lot. They took a step back in order to get some of the lottery picks and things like that they were able to get. But, yeah, I mean, Kidd gives you a chance. He really is. We talked to Rick Carlisle about that the other day. I mean, things you learn along the way. I mean, let's be honest, too. You know, we had the experience with the Lakers as well as how to handle, you know, championship runs and stuff like that.
He's rare in that he's a great player that looks like he's becoming a great coach. I get his first two stops might have not been the best. But usually – these guys like Jason Kidd, when we talk about the great coaches, whether it's Rick Carlisle or Steve Kerr or, right, they're role players. And I get how Kerr was a better player than Rick Carlisle. I'm not comparing them as players, but it's really rare to get a Jason Kidd, a top player in the history of the game, to also be a top coach.
That's right. Yeah. No, you're right about that. I'll go advantage Kidd.
Yes.
I think.
In your face, Golden State.
You know, Kerr's a great coach for that team. One of the best abilities is availability, and he's not always available. So advantage Kidd in that department. But no, I really think if you look at Steve Kerr's entire run, he's just been blessed with more talent, and he's won championships. All you have to do is create a good vibe and be cool to the guys and pat them on the back and tell them they can do it in that situation.
And just say yes to Draymond Green.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
He's going to come get in your ear. Yeah. He's going to tell you what to do, and you're like, all right, let's roll with it.
I mean, he had Kevin Durant in that situation, couldn't keep that kumbaya. You know, so what is Steve Kerr? You know, you got the most dynamic collection of talent.
And hopefully
you
he's a superstar.
The main guy
too.
Walk out the door. Come on, bro.
What did you just say, Mike?
What? That wouldn't be good.
No, there's no way.
You know what? When you said it, I kind of agreed with you.
Okay.
Well, Steve Kerr comes back, and all of a sudden, three Warriors are missing the series because
I'll take any advantage I can get.
I did see a mask.
You guys gonna be upset if we're in the NBA finals? Like, yeah, we're in the finals, but you know, Curry and Draymond got COVID.
I won't, but I will actively root for it before it happens. If it happens,
if it happens, you'll take it and move on.
Yes.
Which injury
exactly
will you root for actively beforehand?
None of them.
Chris Paul?
Not even one.
Oh, he's out.
Coach K?
I think he's weak.
No, why would I want Coach K to get hurt?
Oh, that's right. You're a Duke lover. Yeah.
That's
hater.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a Duke hater.
Out of all the players on that team, which one do you want to get hurt?
Which one would benefit the most?
Yeah, which one would be the
most? That's a different question. I don't.
Mike said it the right way. Answer Mike's question.
I mean, I think that you saw how that team kind of fell apart without Draymond Green. So
all right, so we want Draymond to get hurt.
No, that is not what I said. I said if he did get hurt.
I was going to say Clay, but.
Okay. Yeah, but hasn't he been through enough?
They've played 1,000 games.
Oh, look at you getting soft on injuries right here.
That's the only one.
He's been through too much.
The only
You're wishing injuries on people.
Is Poole any good?
I just said hurt. It could have been feelings or something.
Minor injuries.
Physically.
Yeah,
minor
soft tissue maybe. Soft tissue.
Yeah, broken fibula.
Okay, because if it's what Chiafalo just said,
compound fracture,
and it's their hurt feelings, they're going to lose. Like, if you're like, I can't play, my feelings are hurt, I'll be like, well, you're in the right state. But you're going to lose this series either way.
Fair.
All right.
Politics.
Yes, a little bit. I'm sorry. I couldn't.
Do you think the Warriors identify as losers? Sorry.
He did it. Depends on the day.
Did you hear Ballsack today just taking shots at the Cowboys for no reason?
I did. I think we were inspired by Coach Ballsack because we're going to have pep talks for the Mavs. All coming right. up at 6
Every
o'clock.
Every single one of you?
Every single one of us. I believe Lucius is either going to participate or join in the fun.
Can you give me your quick scouting report? You have to guess right now. Whose pep talk do you think will be the best?
Well, to be honest with you, mine.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
I respect it. Do you, Eric?
It's very disrespectful, though. So if you're trigger warning on it for sure.
Great. Yeah.
There was a lot of bleeping in mind. So, yeah.
Ooh, I can attest to that. I personally went in and added those bleeps for Broadus. That was a really good moment for me.
Are you going to up the ante and eat a Big Mac while you do your pep talk to just really strike fear
into... The only way that you can.
It's Western Conference Finals Game 1, Game Day. Anything goes. So if we need Big Macs to be eaten, whatever it is, I'm not buying this one, though, because those things are like $19 now. But yes, I'm down for a Big Mac today.
Is Big Mac your favorite fast food burger?
God, no. Not even close. Hello, Whataburger.
Okay.
That's all I need.
All right.
Dude, I went to Whataburger yesterday and was in and out of the line in like 2 minutes. It was ridiculous. Oh my God. It was insane.
What magical Whataburger is
it
this?
It was the one over in Plano off of Coit.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll drive out to Plano, get my food, and be back before any of these other Whataburgers. So I think that's a good idea. All right. Roll home.
When did
with
soda start making Whataburgers?
Good point. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece.
Can you wrap that in lettuce for me?
Make your way, take your way back with us tomorrow.
Just give me the wrapper.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 through the Fan.
See, let's go Mavs, Kevin.
Let's go Mavs.
Good night, Kevin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.